captain cannot cheat death.
Ready for warp, sir.
Let's punch it.
Now we've got no captain and no first officer to replace him.
Yeah, we do.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 37. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
Today we're going to talk about, we're going to continue on from the discussion last time about 1E cards, that the virtual cards are being made, and there was a movie that was out. Right, so, I've been blessed with having access to a really nice printer at my office, and it does really high quality prints of the virtual cards. I've been printing out the 2E cards for, a couple of players in my group, and it looks just fantastic. They're sharp, they're brilliant. One of the players in our group kind of developed this technique for putting it together that I've, stolen from Johnny has kind of showed me how to do it. We've been cutting around like right through the black borders about halfway around, and then taking a Sharpie and then going all the way around the edges to get rid of that, get rid of the little white line that you would see if you just pasted that card right after being cut, and then using some double-sided tape. And it looks fantastic. I mean, if you're just flipping through cards, I mean, you can't even tell. They look phenomenal. And actually, the 1E cards don't look very good at all. There's something wrong with the text.
It does. It looks old.
It looks like they're not being made or maintained at the highest resolution possible. I don't know if they're doing that to save space on the files, but this Tribunal of Q card that I've got here, printed on the same printer, the text is just really fuzzy. It looks like one of the old files that used to be up on the Decipher site, the old GIFs that they had.
Yeah, the text is just, I know we have the technology and we've had the fonts around, known what they are for a long, long time. I don't know why those hasn't just been typed back out. Maybe that should have been one of the questions we asked Seth last week.
Yeah, I wish I would have noticed. Well, I printed out the Identity Crisis cards, and they look fine.
Those look fantastic. I don't know what it is about these others.
The virtual RATA file is the same. It's got the same, and I'm not talking about the actual image. I realize that there's a lot of work that went into the images for the Identity Crisis, and that's just not worth doing it for all of the cards in the RATA file. I'm okay with a little bit of a fuzzy image. A lot of the cards from the original 1E set, the black border set that when it first came out were, not the best, but it's the word incident at the top and the little copyright. I can't even read the copyright notice on the side of these 1E cards. They're fuzzy, they're gray, blah.
A bizarre happenstance, one that we shall have to get to the bottom of.
Yeah. So if you have an idea of why this is happening, maybe you could pass it along. We're looking for only the highest quality images, of course.
In the meantime, there has been this thing going on over at the Continuing Committee, which some of you are probably aware of. The Will of the Collective 2 is up, deciding on a new card for an upcoming virtual set. It has been decided that a Tarek Nor card will be sort of the flavor of it, and looks like a good 9 or 10 suggestions were posted for game text, and it really doesn't seem to have been any competition except for these two cards.
Yeah, both really interesting. I'm partial to the one that ended up winning, but I kind of like the idea of the someone posted the dilemma pile manipulation. I think the perfect story for that would have been mining the dilemma pile. I think that's brilliant. You look at the top couple cards, you choose one, and then you just take everything out. That would be really great for the past Tarek Nor, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't really do much in the way of mining when it was floating out over there by the wormhole, other than the mines that were blocking the wormhole. But that's something else entirely.
That's a different kind of mine.
Right.
But the winner here, Epsilon, I believe, can make for some interesting gameplay, I think. Something a little bit that they've tried doing already with getting to play a non-Terek Nor, Cardassian, and Dominion personnel already, but this one lets you do it without having to worry about an event in play that decays and that can be destroyed, or for that matter, without even having to pay a cost, well, a counter cost anyway. You do have to stop two Cardassians to place a Dominion personnel from hand to your mouth of the wormhole, or vice versa. Stop two Dominions to play a Cardassian. And that, I think, is really cool. Because the problem with that other event was that it did decay and it could explode. And if your opponent is playing with a crap load of event destruction, then you're stuck with, you know, depending on how many of these non-Terek Nor cards you put in your deck and you didn't play with Cardassia or the Founder's Homeworld, with a bunch of cards you can't use. And I think this is an excellent cost, because there are plenty of undercosted is not the right word, but low-cost Terek Nor personnel that you can play, get them out, and start stopping them to play more worthwhile personnel to the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah.
I think it's it's a good representation of how their alliance sort of worked.
Yeah, I had originally thought of it as an event, just because that's the way most of these have been. But I think it was maybe Johnny. No, actually, it was Charlie that originally posted in the original, you know, what do you want post, that it could be an interrupt event or an equipment. And I really like the idea of it being equipment. I haven't figured out a good story reason for it yet, but an equipment would be much more, I don't know, protected. Not something you have to worry about,
yeah,
having
way more
overloading permanent your deck with event protection. Even if it goes away after you use it and you have to play it again, the fact that it would either keep coming out, or, you know, if it was restricted to once per turn,
sure,
I think that's groovy.
Yeah, bounce it to hand or throw it under your deck. You know, I think that's it could be a good, I'm sure you could come up with an equipment. Didn't they have something to maintain the wormhole relays? For communicating.
Treaty sign and pen.
Yeah. I'm sure the creative minds in the design team would be able to figure it out.
Bottle of Kanar.
You only have to stop one Dominion personnel if you play Damar with it.
Yes.
There was a film that was released, highly anticipated, this past weekend. Some people have seen it earlier than others. I've seen lots of posts online about people catching previews, press releases of it, press preview screenings and whatnot. I have not yet seen a bad review, and nor can I give it one. What do you guys think?
I guess that's a good. Yeah, we're going to bring in our producer Matt, whose opinion I have not heard yet. So, I had a good time. Matt, what did you think of this movie? Since you're probably the
authority,
biggest fan that I know.
I had a lot of trepidation going into Thursday night. We saw it at 10:00. I was a little nervous. I wasn't as social as I usually am at those type of group things, like especially since there was a movie and stuff. And I was trying not to get myself all worked up and then be disappointed. And after the movie was over, I had a lot of mixed feelings. I went to go see it again the next day, and I've seen it 3 times now, and after the third time, I'm okay with it. I like it quite a lot. I like the fact that they are going to leave the timeline, hopefully, the way that it is, and I look forward to the next installment.
I agree pretty much 100%. I also was very nervous about it. I was trying really hard not to get excited, because I was afraid. I've been burned by J.J. Abrams in the past. He's a really creative guy and has good ideas, but all of his shows that I've watched start off really well, and then they kind of peter off into wandering nowhere land. And I was really afraid of what he might do with a film, but also hopeful that if he was limited to a 2-hour segment of time, that he might be able to create a beginning, middle, and end of a story. And the writers that he brought in, the cast, I think it was a really well put together film. The reboot, as it were, which that was the big thing that kind of bugged me leading up to it. Nobody would say whether or not it was a reboot or whether it was a prequel. And that was because, as it turns out, perhaps we should. Anybody who's listening to this better have seen the movie already.
We'll put a spoiler alert in the show notes.
That's why no one would say anything. It's because it's both. It is a prequel and it is a reboot. I mean, they do a really good job of setting up a storyline, which makes it part of the universe. It's not like Battlestar Galactica where it's just a reimagining. It's an alternate universe, and I totally, you know, that's a total Trek way to do a reboot, and I was really proud of that. And I felt like all the actors did a really fantastic job establishing themselves as the characters, but also remaining true to the memory of their predecessors. Really good at making you feel like they were their characters without doing impersonations of the actors.
Is this the first time in like any Star Trek episode or Stargate or pretty much any sci-fi that we've jumped into an alternate universe and the whole point of it wasn't to put things back the way they came from?
Exactly. I totally kept waiting for them to, you know, well, they blew up Vulcan. They can't do that. You know, they got to go back, fix it. And it's like, wow. I mean, I figured they were going to keep the AU so that they could have it be a reboot without having to worry about continuity. But I did not see that coming. That was a ballsy move, you know, sort of really established the fact that, hey, guess what? This is not your father's Star Trek universe.
About halfway through the third time I was watching it, the thought occurred to me, all of the antagonistic, all of the plot devices they were using were not native to their time. So for the sequel, I'd be really interested to see how these people are going to act from stuff that hasn't been caused by external forces, or at least, you know, in their own universe, how they interact with stuff. Because the character motivations are way different, because Kirk never had a dad, but so he was always rebellious and stuff, and that was cool. But it's going to be a large challenge, but knowing that, seeing what they have done with this original movie, I think that they are well equipped to succeed in the second one.
What did you think, Dan?
Oh, I had a great time. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. It made me kind of look at the shelf of books that I have and think, wow, this is all those books now have an alternate universe icon, because now the real universe is the one we're watching. And it's kind of, I don't know, it kind of took something away from, you know, all the, you know, Next Gen and Deep Space Nine. Now that, I guess, in Spock's perspective, all that stuff really happened.
Yeah.
But now, you know, the universe that we're going to be pursuing now is, you know, it's all new, and none of that is, I don't even know if I'm going to finish the Destiny book I got now. It's kind of like, well, that was the old stuff, and I don't think I want to read it anymore.
And that was one of the reasons that we were talking about right after the first show. Aside from not wanting to step on the toes of CBS or Paramount, if they decide to go ahead and try a new card game, is that I really can't say how it would fit into the existing card game, because it's not like we could give them all AU icons and just leave it at that, because that's not what they're trying to be. To put them in the game from the perspective of they are outsiders is contrary to what the movie was trying to establish. So it'd make it feel really weird, I think. So I don't think from that perspective we could rightly put them into the game in the convention that we are familiar with.
See, it had to be something very drastic.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. I mean, to the point of if you look from a purely Trek science point of view, that it is, and the way the game has been established, it's just an alternate universe. They have the alternate universe icon. They have the name they had before. If you want to play them, you can play them. If you want to play the other TOS, you play the other TOS. I don't think it would be that big of a deal. I mean, other than you guys thinking it would feel like it's insulting them or degrading them by saying they're not the main cast, they're alternate universe. But you could certainly throw it in. I mean, it's not like it's a big... It's not like we're selling the cards anymore.
Well, I mean, certainly from a mechanical standpoint, yes, we could put it into the game. But like you said, I think aesthetically it would feel a little weird, and I don't think it would jibe with what we already have in the game.
I agree. Taking it a step backwards to the 1E universe, it would be like you would have to, you know, the mirror universe when they had mirror universe cards. Technically, the mirror universe is just alternate universe, but they wanted to isolate it to a specific alternate universe, so they named it. And you'd have to do something like that to sort of delineate them if you wanted to make it special.
I'd agree. I think in 10 years from now, when we're still playing this card game, if they wanted to go back and make something for this, you know, I could see a different home world with a different Federation icon that says you can't play any other Federation people, and you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, this movie has boggled our minds, and we are clearly out of intelligence for this week. On behalf of Matt, thanks for coming in for our little guest movie discussion. And once again, thanks to Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And we will once again remind you to expand your power in the universe and go see Star Trek.
And I will remember that I was going to talk about card collections and how I store them. Maybe we'll talk about that next time. 37. I'll come up with something good for 38. Just give me a break.